Sports and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. In suburban Boston, a jury has acquitted Karen Reed of killing her ex-boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe, in 2022, but has found her guilty of drunken driving. WBZ's Emma Friedman.
Karen Reed was sentenced to 1 year probation for the OUI. While walking out of the courthouse, cheers erupted from her supporters, dressed in pink, holding up the American Sign Language symbol for I love you.
About a year ago, a separate jury deadlocked on the second-degree murder charge. President Trump says he hasn't made a final decision about ordering airstrikes on Iran.
Israel's done a very good job of that, but we'll see what happens. The bottom line is they can't have nuclear.
The FDA has approved a twice-a-year HIV prevention injection. Here's CBS's Alexander Tin on the Health Watch.
The drug is called lenacapavir, branded as Yeztugo by drug maker Gilead Sciences, which is touting the medication as a major breakthrough in the fight against HIV.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers get rained out. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. Brewers and Cubs were supposed to play tonight at Wrigley Field, but steady rains, game has been called. They'll move tonight's game to August 18th and a doubleheader at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Chicago winning last night 5-3. The Cubs doing a good job this season closing out games. They are 40-1 and going into the eighth inning with the lead. NFL, I had a chance to talk to the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, yesterday at Lambeau Field and asked him, when he takes over from Mark Murphy this summer, what are the things he wants to focus on?
The Packers, the entire organization really exists for three things and three things only, and that's to win football games, to keep the Packers in Green Bay, and to strengthen our community. So I'll be really focused on those three things, and the next big thing will be first and foremost to focus on fielding a very competitive football team that's hopefully competing for championships.
That's the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early...
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Not in a good place today. Not in a good mood, not in a good place, not happy. And I got to tell you, I don't have, in this moment, great hope for this country. I got to be honest, this latest disgrace coming out of the White House, this latest Trump executive order that will, I guess, allow VA doctors to now refuse to treat veterans, not for medical reasons, but for their politics, their marital status, their union affiliation. You know, if you're a Democrat, if you're not married or you're a union supporter, you can now evidently be denied care at a VA hospital if you're a vet. It's amazing. These are our heroes. These are the people we put on a pedestal. These are the folks who... These are the folks we worship, and yet now because of, it's not freedom. What we're seeing is fascism, pure and simple. And look, millions of working class veterans who fought for this country, only to now be told that their health care depends on their loyalty or how they voted in the last election or who they love. And look, it's not just unethical. It's un-American. I mean, this is a direct attack on working people. This is an attack on women, on LGBT veterans. This is an attack on anyone who doesn't pledge dear leader loyalty. And we even are hearing about doctors who are being fired for their political beliefs or their labor activism. Since when did serving your country become a political litmus test? When? What we're seeing is this is a war on science, it's a war on medicine, and it's a war on basic dignity. Let's be very clear about what's going on here. This isn't about defending women. This is about consolidating power. This is about punishing dissent. This is about turning veterans' health care into a tool of political control. The working class is being sacrificed again, like always. And if we don't stand up now, tomorrow it won't be just the VA. It'll be our jobs, our rights, our lives, all of it. When do you go, enough is enough? And look, you know, if you'd have told me this 10 years ago, I'd have said, no, this country wouldn't stand for this. This country's, you know, we love our heroes. We put them on a pedestal for a reason. We're going to take care of them. We're going to take care of each other. We're a better country than this. We're told we're a good, God-fearing country. And yet today I had one of those moments. This story just compounded my anger for the day. As you know, my wife was in a serious motorcycle accident back in September, near fatal. She is never going to be who she was. I fear she's never going to be functional. She's getting stronger physically. She's getting better. She's walking around. She's able to do things physically, but mentally, she may never return. And she's tired all of the time. So today, when we had doctor's appointments, they scheduled two of them first thing in the morning, and then the third one 3.5 hours later. We needed a place to find to let her lay down for a little bit. And there was a couch up in a lobby, away from virtually everybody else. And on three separate occasions, we had people from the facility come in and harass her laying down. And I couldn't help but think that these are people who are in a care industry who show no compassion whatsoever. None. And these are people who should not be in the healthcare industry, in the care industry. And what it came down to is they thought that we were homeless. And I don't know why that would matter. Because look, I hadn't showered. My hair was a mess. I have a giant bag because I have to carry all kinds of things. I was told I look like a homeless bad guy. Throughout this whole process, I've learned a lot of patience, a lot of self-control. Because here's what I know. I know in the world that we're in right now, if I'm me, the normal me, I'm going to get locked up because, we've now passed laws that being angry is against the law. And if that happens, if I do get locked up, I don't know what happens to her. She's not able to care for herself. And all we wanted to do was lay down for a little bit, take a nap and regenerate, rejuvenate. And yet on multiple occasions, these people, made obvious threats. And it got me to thinking that, maybe we're not the country anymore that I grew up in. Maybe we've been trained to not care about each other. I look at what the Senate's doing to Medicaid, and I don't see the outrage that I think would be sufficient. I had hoped that the Senate would be the place where some sanity, that they would be the place that would go, no, this is too far. But no, they're going to cut Medicaid. And I'm told from what I'm reading, Medicare is on the block as well, because we have to fund Dear Leader's tax cuts. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do it by rationing health care. Rationing care to poor people, especially to veterans. And I have to say, I'm distraught. I'm distraught by what I see in our common humanity, because I don't think it's there. I fear that we've so been broken by the harsh edges of our political rhetoric. And this is the Trump effect. I put the blame at his feet. This is coming out of the pandemic and all of the organizing that went around to tearing down government because it was politically expedient. I look at this and in this moment and fear that the country I love is not the country I believe it to be. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Have you had similar encounters? Do you feel the same way? And what can we do to make it better? I want to hear your thoughts. Right back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello, and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters broadcast here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas. As we welcome you back, it's projected start time 9:15 p.m., so looking to get things rolling along here as the Rafters will hope to make the three-run comeback. And Trevor Moik still looking like he's going to go out there and pitch for the Rafters. He was who was on the mound last. Rain still coming down here, tarp off the field, but looks like we are all good to go for the resumption of this game. It is 3-0 Madison in the top of the seventh inning. Excited to have you guys back with me, and of course the game getting ready to get underway. And an exciting one at that, as the Rafters have a real shot to have an upset, but they are going to need a little bit of a comeback, so hoping to be successful on said comeback. But this is holding off and hoping that the Rafters offense can get going against Jordy Nelson. That's kind of the, Jordy Lopez, as I mix up my Wisconsin legacy here. And so at the moment in time, we are getting ready to go for the first pitch since the resumption of this game. It's the top of the seventh inning, and sorry about this hot breath of mine. It was a tarp pull for me that ended up taking away all of my breath, so I do apologize for the heavy breathing. However, we are back underway, and I think that's what we all want to see as the Rafters hope to get things rolling along here in the seventh inning. So, due up this inning, it's going to be Mikey Bell, Carson Hansen, and Nate Voss for the Madison Mallards. That's who is due up, and that's who we're going to see, unless, of course, there is a pinch hitter. And the rain is still coming down here. There are, you know, players that are hoping to get back out here and ready to roll. And so Trevor Moik is warming up. All of the Rafters are out there on the field. Moik is getting a little bit of his warm-up pitches in, and he is trying to readjust to the new setting here as the Rafters hope to make that comeback. So, as I mentioned, it'll be Mikey Bell, Carson Hansen, and Nate Voss do up this inning for the Mallards. Moik calling, saying, hey, here we go. I'm ready to pitch. And he'll have just one more warm-up pitch and then the quick infield visit as they will get ready to go for inning number 7. Taking a look back at how it all happened, it was a pitcher's duel through and through, all the way up really until the sixth inning. Seth Spencer went 5 2/3 innings. He allowed just the two runs, although both of them were earned, and one of those runs was an inherited runner that came across to score in the sixth inning. And so Trevor Moik out there talking with Nick Adrian, and new conditions. It is wet out here, so it's a little bit different from the dry field that we saw earlier today. Nick Adrian heading back behind the plate, and Mikey Bell stepping up, ready to go. Bell, the right-handed hitting third baseman for the Mallards. Prior to the delay, he was 1-for-3 as we get ready to roll, and the first pitch back from delay, 9:15 p.m., and it misses for ball number one. And Bell, his last time up, it was a flyout to right field in the fifth inning on a 2-0 count as this pitch comes in and it misses for ball number two, a 2-0 count. Bell also grounded out 6-3 in the third inning, but his first time up was that single. It was the first hit of the game off of Seth Spencer as that one's in there, called for a strike, brings the count 2-1. Nobody out, nobody on in the top of the seventh. Rafters down 3-0. Mikey Bell trying to get hit number two. He swings and misses for strike number two. And it's a 2-2 count. And looking at the Mallards, their offense was clicking against Moik in the sixth inning. They had four straight base runners reach against him. 2-2 count is fouled back and rolls it to still a 2-2. Carson Hansen on deck. He's 2-for-3 in the game, so already a pair of hits and someone who you don't want to see here. 2-2 the count. Getting ready to send it home. Moik, this one's a fly ball towards center field. It's high in the air. Miro is under it, and he will make the catch high in the night sky for out number one. So one up, one down in the seventh inning as Trevor Moik now has retired his last two batters. And Carson Hansen stepping into the batter's box. Hansen, the left-handed hitting right fielder for the Mallards. He is 2-for-3, as I previously mentioned. Also has a stolen base, but his last time up, it was a strikeout swinging in the sixth. First pitch to him is a little outside for ball number one and moves the count 1-0. And Hansen, earlier in the game, he had a single in the third and a single in the first. He reached third in the third inning thanks to an error on a pickoff, as this one is a swing and a miss as it rolls to a 1-1 count. So 1-1 the count here with the rain coming down here at Witter Field. A big wide stance from Hansen as it misses outside to roll it 2-1. Hansen has that left foot almost all the way back, dead middle of the batter's box, but all the way in the back. His right foot is on the back edge of it, the right side of the batter's box, pushed way up as this pitch misses inside for ball number three, a 3-1 count. And looking at the Mallards, they're hoping for win number 14 as they currently sit at 13-7 on the season and still looking to win the subdivision. It's a tight race between them and the ensuing three teams, but a swing and a miss here brings the count full for Carson Hansen. Hansen did strike out swinging back in that sixth inning, like I mentioned, and so he is a guy who has already shown the ability to get that swing and a miss. But the 3-2 count, it's fouled back, so he stays alive from the plate. Not going to go down so easily here. Back in that sixth inning, he struck out on three pitches. Fans still here in the stands, and impressive how the Rafters faithful stayed out at the ballpark. There was a lot of in-game entertainment. 3-2 counts, a swing and a miss. Strike number three. Great stuff from Trevor Moik as he picks up his first strikeout of the game, and that's back-to-back batters retired in the seventh. Two outs and nobody on as it brings up Nate Voss to the plate with a 3-0 lead in the top of the seventh. Right-handed hitting designated hitter for the Mallards. First pitch is well outside for ball number one. And we've seen a couple of pitches like that from Moik that just get away from him right now. And you're hoping that he can start to really bring his stuff in, because you've seen what he can do when he is accurate. 1-0 count with the bases empty. Pitch on the way from Moik. It is grounded straight back and towards the Rafters dugout side of the backstop as it rolls to a 1-1 count. Bryce Liddle warming up in the bullpen for the Mallards after Jordy Lopez had a shutout sixth inning. And after all this time, it seems like it might be time for the Mallards to choose a different pitcher on the mound. It was almost an hour delay. This one ripped over to shortstop, picking it up over there. Parker, he'll throw back to first. A little high, but it's still picked up by Madden Akko in time for out number three. 6-3 on the putout, and it goes three up, three down in the seventh inning for Trevor Moick. Bottom of the seventh we go here when we return on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
And Bryce Liddle welcomes us back into the Rafters plate appearances as he is the pitcher on the mound for the Madison Mallards. Bryce Liddle relieves Jordy Lopez after Lopez went one inning pitched. He did not allow a run on one hit, one walk, two strikeouts, no hit batters, no wild pitches, five batters faced, and 21 total pitches. Brings in Bryce Liddle, the right-hander out of the University of St. Thomas, a native of Markesian, Wisconsin. He is a senior, just finished up that season at St. Thomas, and 5'11", 200 pounds. He's already made four appearances this year for the Mallards, yet to allow a run, yet to allow a hit, as he has totaled a grand amount of six innings pitched. He is a longtime Madison Mallard. He has pitched four separate seasons. This is his fourth. He made his debut for the Mallards in 2022. 2023, he pitched a little bit more. 24, he was more of a late season guy. He had a good appearance in the playoffs for the Mallards as they would make their run down in the Northwoods League playoffs. And this season, off to a phenomenal start. The first pitch to Royce Clayton Jr. is a swing and a miss for strike number one. Royce Clayton Jr., Chris Diaz, and Nick Adrian do up. That's the 6-7-8 batters in the inning for the Rafters. They're down 3-0 in the bottom of the seventh. Hoping to make the comeback and get the win here as the pitch comes on the way, and it's in there for strike number two. Brings it to an 0-2 count. Clayton in left field today. He has been playing a lot more out there as of late. 0-2 on the game. He's got a pair of strikeouts. It's a righty-righty matchup, and the 0-2 count hit up the middle. It's a soft grounder in the wet grass. Picked up at short. No, it's not picked up. It goes under the glove of the shortstop, Cooper Malamazian, and it brings up Chris Diaz with a runner on first base. So the second hit of the game for the Rafters comes in the seventh. It's an infield single. And Chris Diaz now at the plate. He's 0 for 2 in the game. The left-handed hitting right fielder for the Rafters has a runner on first with nobody out in the bottom of the seventh. 3-0, the Mallards lead. Over on first, Clayton thought about taking off, but the first pitch to Diaz is called for strike number one, and Clayton stays on first. 0-1 count to Diaz. He flew out to left field back in the fifth inning, struck out looking in the third. Clayton on first base, it's an 0-1 count, and the pitch misses inside to Diaz, rolls 1-1, and Diaz looking a little more at him. He has been struggling a little bit lately for the Rafters, hoping that he can start to find his stuff, as on the year he's been pretty good at getting on base, but batting just .200 entering this game. Pickoff attempt back to first, and just sliding back in under the tag was Clayton, nearly got picked off there. But a good dive makes him safe. Diaz has yet to record a hit in his last four games. After starting the season really hot, he picked up a hit in four of his first five games. He's picked up just one game with a hit in his previous nine, as this pitch misses low to bring it 2-1. So really looking to turn it around here. It's a 2-1 count to Diaz. And, man, you know what he's got. He's got great late appearances. He always has good discipline up there, but sometimes you get into a cold spell. Looking to break out of it. The 2-1 count misses inside, nearly gets away from Curry, but instead it just misses for a ball as he's able to dive for it. 3-1 the count. Still the runner on first base. Clayton not really looking like he's going to take off. And so a 3-1 count. Still here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Rafters having had that big comeback in the offensive side of the game yesterday. They've got some of the momentum heading into this one. Got a 3-1 count with the runner on first. Pitch comes home. It's fouled back as it rolls 3-2. And the Rafters looking to improve their spot in the standings as, well, they entered today alone in fifth place. They had officially cleared the sixth place Lakeshore Chinooks after last night. Chinooks took the loss, and Rafters able to gain half a game as this one is a swing and a miss. Throw down to second, trying to take off for Clayton, but it bounces off the bag, and either way, Clayton was in there safe. So strikeout of Chris Diaz as he goes down, and Royce Clayton Jr., though, steals second base. Brings up Nick Adrian with a runner on second. And one out in the bottom of the seventh. Rafters tying runner is on deck right now. It's getting into the late game, so feel like you need to start scoring some runs. They got a runner in scoring position, and Nick Adrian up at the plate, looking to make something happen. First pitch on the way, runner taking off for third, the throw on down, and not in time. It's another stolen base for Royce Clayton as the pitch missed for a ball, and now a runner on third with a 1-0 count. Nick Adrian hoping to make something happen. He is 0-1 on the game with a walk his last time up. The 1-0 count is right down the middle for strike number one, a 1-1 count. J.J. Garcia is on deck. Garcia 0-2 in the game, so hoping he can turn around, but Adrian's got the chance. He just needs a sacrifice here. 1-1 count on the way, and it is on the outside edge, called for strike number two. So probably no bunt here, as Adrian's been squaring up the baseball. That's what Ziggy's been telling me, and that's what I've seen as well. Despite that, his numbers not showing it. Hoping for those hits. The 1-2 count, it's a little bit outside for a 2-2 count. And you know, the advanced statistics all say, hey, this guy is batting way under what he should be. Got all the TrackMan data here that all the players love looking at and really helps them get their game. The 2-2 count misses a little low for ball number three. It's a 3-2 count. Nick Adrian trying to keep this inning at just one out. that that runner from third can be sent home, but down 3-0, you also need more base runners. And this is the situation, you know, some teams will put down the bunt in this case with the runner on third and one out. 3-2 counts, a swing and a miss, though. That's strike number three, and the Rafters can't move that runner from third just yet. So still a 3-0 game as Adrian goes down on strikes, and it brings up J.J. Garcia to the plate. Garcia looking to make something happen here as taking a look at the Rafters. Man, they have really struggled situationally, at least as of late. It feels like that throughout the season. They've got a runner on third with two away for J.J. Garcia, the right-handed hitting third baseman who takes that one outside for ball number one. And you look at their team batting average with runners in scoring position, it actually isn't that bad. Batting .288, but with two outs, they're batting just .239. 1-0 count. This one's hit high in the air towards right field. Running up on it, it is caught by the right fielder, Carson Hansen, for out number three. So the Rafters lead off with a single and a pair of stolen bases for Clayton Jr., but they leave him stranded at third. No runs on the one hit, no errors, one left on base as we hit the eighth inning here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Summer is here, and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Into the eighth inning we go, and a new pitcher on the mound for the Rafters. It's Jafet Martinez who takes over for Trevor Moik after Moik went 1 1/3 innings between the delay. So it was before the delay and after the delay, and post-delay he was very good. Overall, though, on the night, Moik finishes his game with 1 1/3 innings pitched, one run allowed on two hits, one walk, one strikeout, one hit batter, no wild pitches, eight total batters faced, and 33 total pitches. And checking in for him, it is, as I mentioned, the guy from Puerto Rico, Jafet Martinez. Martinez hoping to lock it down for the Rafters. He is a guy who comes over from Alabama as he'll take on Davis Hamilton, the first baseman. The first pitch to him is in there for strike number one. And Martinez on the season, he's had seven appearances. This is his eighth appearance of the year, has nine innings pitched and a 6 ERA. 0-1 count to Davis Hamilton. And this one is a grounder down the first base line, but foul as it rolls to an 0-2 count. Martinez, his last time out, he allowed the walk-off. It was an unearned walk-off at Fond du Lac, as he thought that he had gotten out of a jam, but an error kept the game alive. Here in the eighth inning, hoping to redeem himself with a couple of big outs. 0-2 count. This one's a flare towards shallow center field, and it's actually Parker will have to run up on it as it's caught in the infield for out number one. Brings up Thomas Curry to the plate with one out, and the base is empty in the top of the eighth inning. Mallard's up 3-0. Curry, the right-handed hitting catcher from the University of Illinois Chicago, native of Heartland, Wisconsin, formerly an SEC player. He played for the Missouri Tigers back last season. How much of an SEC team is that? I don't know. Swing and a miss here, though. Gets strike number one as Curry is currently 0-2 in the game. Now, the reason that I say that about Missouri is because I am a guy from Mizzou, so I feel like I can talk trash about my own team in that case. 0-1 count with one away as this one is popped up, straight back out of play. Either way, he transferred out from Missouri in the past offseason, so moved on to Illinois Chicago. Has an 0-2 count here. One out, bases empty in front of him, and Curry hoping not to be two up, two down for Jafet Martinez. And Martinez taking his time on the mound. He brings the ball into the glove and sends it home. It's a grounder over to third, and it takes a huge hop at third over J.J. Garcia's head and into left field. So that's going to be a tough one to score, probably a single as it went into left field. And Thomas Curry up on first base with one out. Cooper Malamazian up at the plate now. Malamazian is 2-for-3 on the game with a run scored and a stolen base. His last time up, it was a single in the sixth inning. First pitch here is fouled away as it rolls to an 0-1 count. Officially, the rain delay was an hour and 2 minutes as we got back underway at 9:15 p.m. And so a long time in between the sixth and the seventh innings. Malamazian, he's up at the plate now and feels like it's been forever since he's been up at the plate. 0-1 count, misses outside. It's a 1-1 count. But he's hoping to keep the momentum rolling along. That's always hard to do for a batter or for a pitcher, really anyone. 1-1 the count with one away in the top of the eighth inning. Runner on first. This one's hit well into center field, but not well enough as Miro has to run up on it after missing it in the sky. Now he finds it for out number two, and good adjustment from the center fielder for the Rafters, and that's what playing every day in center field in college will do for you. The man from UNLV, I mean, he has been phenomenal defensively. Maybe the best defensive player on the Rafters since he got here. And, I mean, he's been great out there. Royce Clayton Jr. has made a couple of nice plays in left field as well since his move over there. Two outs, runner on first base, and the first pitch misses outside to Noah Sheffield for ball number one. And Sheffield, his last time up, it was the two RBI double in the sixth inning that made it 3-0. Top of the eighth here, he's looking to do similar damage as that pitch misses high for ball number two. It's a 2-0 count. And Sheffield, 1-for-3 on the game outside of that double. He is a strikeout and a flyout from earlier. 2-0 count is fouled back. It rolls 2-1. On deck, it's the top of the order, Dominic Jacoby. So runner on first base and a 2-1 count with two outs. Jafet Martinez allowed the flyout, the single, and another flyout. Bring us where we are. Still the runner on first. Here's the payoff from Martinez. It's a big swing and a miss. from Sheffield to bring it 2-2. And Sheffield, on the season, entered today batting .276 with a .723 OPS. Not a bad performance from him so far, but still looking to take that step forward. He's got a 2-2 count with two away. The pitch from Martinez, swing and a miss for strike number three. Martinez's first K of the game, and it keeps us 3-0 heading into the bottom of the eighth. Rafters looking to tie it up or take the lead. They've got to do it in three runs if they want a chance to not have to bat again. We'll see if they can do it when we come back here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Econ Electric Inc., based in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, dedicates itself to delivering cutting-edge and dependable residential electrical contractor services. Whether it's a new home or enhancing existing ones, their commitment spans every detail. The success lies in offering residential electrical services tailored to your lifestyle and property. Proudly serving central Wisconsin, including Stevens Point, Plover, Lakes Area, and Wisconsin Rapids. Experience the comfort and security of a Generac generator and the excellent customer service of Econ Electric Inc. now.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
Bottom of the eighth, and it's back to Bryce Liddle for the Madison Mallards. They lead 3-0 as the Rafters have managed just two hits, both of them coming in the last two innings, although those innings have been separated by over an hour, as here in the bottom of the eighth inning, we're getting ready to go and not much time left on the clock. There we go. We get the pitch. A little bit of extra time here for Bryce Liddle after he was warming up in between innings, and not sure exactly why, but here we are, and now we get the throw down to second, so now we'll be ready to go. The batters due up this inning for the Rafters are the 1-2-3 batters in the order. That's Ruiz, Oñate, and Miro. Rafters hoping to make something happen. Back against Bryce Liddle in the seventh inning. They had a leadoff single from Royce Clayton Jr., but then it was a strikeout, and a flyout to end the frame. He threw a total of 17 pitches in that inning on just four batters. He worked the count relatively well. Ruiz, another guy that works the count well, fouls the first pitch back as it rolls to an 0-1 count. And on the game, Ruiz has reached all three times he stepped up to the plate. He doubled back in the sixth inning after walking in the third and being hit by a pitch in his first plate appearance in the first inning. 0-1 the count with nobody on and nobody out. This one hit towards right field. It's dropping and gets down for his second hit of the night. A leadoff single from Noah Ruiz, and he's on for the fourth time today. Nasty Noah does it again, and he stays hot. Still not able to pick up an RBI, which is rather disappointing as he leads the Northwoods League in RBIs, and it's a race towards the end of the first half to see if he can take that crown, but hey, he'll take getting hits that he can have. A 2-for-2 game from him with a double, a walk, and a hit by pitch, and it brings up Mason Oñate with the runner on first, and Oñate's been great at driving in runs the past couple as this pitch misses high and inside and nearly hits Oñate, but he's just barely able to avoid it near the head, and it's a 1-0 count as he will get set to step back into the batter's box. He's got a runner on first with nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. It's 3-0 Mallards. On the mound, Liddle, the right-hander, taking on the lefty Oñate. And it's a swing and a foul ball as it rolls to a 1-1 count. And on first, Ruiz, certainly a guy that could try and take off. Done it a couple of times, but earlier he saw his time as he advanced to second, both in the sixth and the third innings, each of the last two times he was on the base paths. Sixth inning, it was on a double, but the third inning, it was as Oñate drew a walk. So a 1-1 count, and the pitch here is fouled back as it moves to a 1-2 count. Blake Barker warming up in the bullpen for the Madison Mallards. A 1-2 count with nobody out. And a lefty-righty matchup at the plate. Oñate has been great at getting on base all season long. His OPS, 958 with a 351 batting average. And over his last three games, he has 11 RBIs. 1-2 count on the way, but it's a swing and a miss this time. His second strikeout of the game. And there's out number one here in the eighth inning. Leaves Noah Ruiz on first base. And it brings up Gunnar Myro with one out and one on. And Gunnar Myro, who I talked about him a little bit defensively, the right-handed hitting center fielder, it's a righty-righty matchup. He's been great from the plate as well as of late. However, he is hoping to find his spot here as he is 0-3 in the game today. First pitch misses for a ball. It's a 1-0 count. Runner on first base, 3-0 Mallards in the bottom of the eighth inning. One out and a 1-0 count to Gunnar Myro. 5 seconds on the pitch clock. Ruiz is taking off. The throw on down to second. It beats him, but did the tag? Yeah, it did. Caught sliding there as the pitch missed for a ball, and that was a beautiful throw down from Thomas Curry as it's the caught stealing of Noah Ruiz. He can't put himself into scoring position. Now there's two outs in the bottom of the eighth, with nobody on the base paths, and a 2-0 count to Gunnar Myro. And the 2-0 count is a little bit inside as it moves to 3-0. On deck, Eric Barker, the right-handed hitting shortstop, but Myro gonna hope that it can get to him before the ninth. Bottom of the eighth here, and the Rafters needing a little bit of a jolt. After the delay, the 3-0 is going to miss low for ball number four. So there goes Gunnar Myro over to first. And well, hindsight's 20-20. You would have hoped that Noah Ruiz stayed on first. But either way, the Rafters keep the inning alive as Gunnar Myro gets on first with a two-out walk. They tried putting together a two-out rally back in the third inning. Started with an error that allowed Garcia to reach, and then they had back-to-back walks to load the bases, although they still did not manage to score. The Rafters, yet to score this game, they also have yet to be shut out this season. Runner on first with two outs in the bottom of the eighth for Eric Parker, and this pitch is hit right over to shortstop, but it eats him up in the dirt. High bounce, and Parker is aboard first while Myro goes to second. And it was hit hard there, but right at the shortstop. And, well, Malamazian just wasn't able to pick it up. So E6 in the books there, as now the Rafters have runners on first and second. On first base, Eric Parker. On second, Gunnar Myro. And it brings up Madden Akko to the plate in a righty-righty matchup. Akko, 0-1 in the game as he pinch hit for Jack Guerrero in the sixth. It was a line out to center field. That was the last plate appearance before the rain delay. So up for the second time today. It's a righty-righty matchup with runners on first and second and two away. Rafters down 3-0. The first pitch is seen high and tight to bring it 1-0. And Akko is riding a 9-game hit streak since arriving with the Rafters. And, well, hitless today, this might be his last opportunity So needs to come through here. 1-0 count. This one's hit to the right side of the infield. Takes an odd hop in the grass over to the second baseman. He'll throw it on to first in time for out number three. So once again, the Rafters two-out rally comes up short. No runs on the one hit. There was one error and two left on base. It's 3-0 heading into the ninth. Rafters got to keep it locked down. We'll see if they can when we return here on WFHR Wisconsin.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning here on WFHR. Thanks for joining us tonight. As the Rafters down 3-0 looking to make a comeback, they'll look for Jafet Martinez to continue his excellence after he allowed just the single in the eighth inning and recorded the other three outs. No problemo. And so the Rafters hoping to get rolling along. Martinez back out here. And a little bit of quick dry in between innings as the grounds crew, our grounds crew member of James out there. And James, man, he's a trooper. A lot of people might call him the clubby, although we've kind of got two clubbies. Also, Hayden Kemet-Mueller, James Odell out there, and also our general manager Ken Day helping get the field set for play in the batter's box. You guys go. You got this. Anyways, it's a new time through the lineup for the Mallards as they'll get the 1-2-3 batters due up here in the top of the ninth. That's Dominic Jacoby, Liam Moreno, and Mikey Bell. That's who they'll see. And Dominic Jacoby going to be the first one to take on Jafet Martinez. And so a couple more warm-up pitches here from Martinez as he gets set, and a throw down to second. And, well, Nick Adrian looks like he's on the money with his throws, so we'll see if he can keep that up. But in the top of the ninth, it's still a little bit rainy out here. Not too much coming down. But it's 3-0 Mallards in the top of the ninth, and Jacoby stepping up. Jacoby, the right-handed hitting second baseman for the Mallards, comes from Harper College, a native of Chicago, Illinois, as the first pitch misses high for ball number one, a 1-0 count. And on the game, Jacoby, 1-for-3 with a walk and an RBI. 1-0 count on the way for Martinez. This one is popped up middle of the infield, trailing back, and Adrian trying to find it. It drops out of his glove. Couldn't quite track it. So the count goes to 1-1. Got high in the sky and just kind of kept trailing back and back and back as the count rolls 1-1. And nearly had it. I mean, Adrian was under it, but just couldn't quite get it in his glove. It was a high pop-up, and it's tough to see out here at Witterfield. The 1-0-1-1 count misses inside to bring it 2-1. Dominic Jacoby drew a walk his last time up in the sixth inning. He flew out to center field back in the fifth. and an RBI single in the second and popped out to third in the first. Has a 2-1 count with nobody on, nobody out in the top of the ninth. The pitch misses. No, it hits the lower outside edge of the strike zone to bring the count 2-2. Jacoby will be followed by Liam Moreno, the left fielder for the Mallards. Mallards looking for another win here. The 2-2 count gets a swing and a miss. And Martinez, his second strikeout of the game as he's retired now the last three consecutive. And it brings up Liam Moreno with one out in the top of the ninth and the base is empty. Mallards up 3-0. And looking a little more at Martinez, he's had a couple of really good appearances this season. Go back to the one at Wausau back on May 29th. A while ago now, as this pitch misses outside for ball number one, but that really got his name known as he went two scoreless innings without a hit or a walk allowed. He's got a 1-0 count to the right-handed hitting left fielder as Moreno takes that pitch a little bit outside to roll it 2-0. And Moreno is 0-for-4 in the game, but no strikeouts. Every ball has been put into play. 2-0 count is a swing and a miss to bring it 2-1. His last time up, Moreno flew out to center field in the sixth inning. He grounded out 1-3 in the fifth, flew out to center field in the second, and grounded out 5-3 in the first. 2-1 count on the way to Martinez is outside as he can't quite find his spot. 3-1 to Moreno. And Martinez hasn't allowed an earned run in his last an inning and two-thirds after allowing two against Green Bay back on June 7th. The 3-1 count is hit high in the air towards shallow left center field. Parker trailing back out, and he'll make the catch in time for out number two. So a pop out from Liam Moreno brings up Mikey Bell as that's two up, two down in the ninth. Four consecutive batters retired by Jafet Martinez, who's looking to finish off this ninth inning without allowing a run on his record. But Mikey Bell, a dangerous guy for that task. And he's been a surprising 1-for-4 in the game as he entered today batting .500 in just a couple of games. At five RBIs, though, as here's a swing and a foul ball. Goes 0-1, and Bell, his last time up, he flew out to center field. Back in the fifth, he flew out to right field, grounded out 6-3 in the third, and he singled in the first. Yeah, the first hit of the game for the Mallards. The 0-1 count here is a little low for ball number one. It's now a 1-1 count. On deck, if it gets there, Carson Hansen. But the Rafters hoping to have one of their better pitching performances of the season, keeping the Mallards to just three runs as this one is fouled back. It goes 1-2 on the count. And Carson Hansen, 2-for-4. You don't really want to see him with a runner on base. 1-2 count with two away. Martinez looking to finish it off. Mikey Bell, the right-handed hitting third baseman. It's a righty-righty matchup. The West Coast Conference Player of the Year. Can Martinez finish him? And it's fouled back. So we'll redo the 1-2 count. And Mikey Bell, I mentioned, I mean, he was incredible at Gonzaga this past year. Really had a good season and looking to keep it up. He has kept it up into the early goings of this year. 1-2 count from Martinez to Bell. It's once again fouled back, so Mikey Bell fighting to stay alive. You look to his last plate appearance in the seventh inning. He saw six pitches and had to foul one off with two strikes to stay alive before he ended up flying out. But his previous three plate appearances, he didn't see any more than four pitches. You'll be seeing pitch number sixth on the way from Martinez, and once again, it's fouled back. So it's the third time that he's fouled a pitch off with two strikes. And Mikey Bell just not willing to end this ninth inning just yet. Yafet Martinez trying to get out of it. And Martinez on the year, he's been one of the more controlled players for the Raptors. Just 4 walks in his 9 innings of work. Less than a walk every 2 innings. Has a 1-2 count on the way, and it's fouled off. So still a 1-2 count. We'll see pitch number 8 on the way after this. And only 1 ball thrown so far from Martinez. A 1-2 count yet again for the right-handed hitting Mallard. Native of Fresno, California. Here's the 1-2, and once again, it's fouled back. So Bell continuing to stay alive up there as he just keeps rolling along. Bell, 5 foul balls with 2 strikes. You'll see pitch number 9 from Martinez. 1-2 the count. It is ripped over to third base. Picked up by Garcia off the ground, and he will throw it to first in time for out number 3. So ends up going 3 up, 3 down, even though it took a little bit longer than hoped. And Martinez